SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love
it. In this league.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
Bogman, you and I had a little bit of a disagreement before the show. Now, you had some really good notes on here. Presumably, had we had like a guest, we would have talked about. And one of them was around Jared Kelnick. This is a good time to talk Jared Kelnick stuff because he has been insane. I mean, there's no denying. I got to tell you, dude, I put him on that trade away, trade hot, you know, now type of video. It was too early and the holding. And there's a real debate and question now of if at all, because I'm looking at his Baseball Savant page and it looks like the former top prospect, what you would think. It looks better than what Julio Rodriguez is. He is outperforming Julio Rodriguez right now on a batting average front. It is red as can be. It's a stoplight. XWOBA, 99 percentile. XBA, 98 percentile. That's a key one. He's hitting 342, a 334 XBA right now. Absurd. XLUG, top 100%, 97 percentile hard hit. He was 35% hard hit last year. He is 59% hard hit last year. As well, you go through, he's barreling the ball. He's doing a little bit of walking. It's all there. The only big question, the chase rate is in the 80 percentile on the good side. He's not whiffing. The only question is like the actual strikeouts, but he's cut those from 33 down to 24%. So all of this is to say, holy crap, Jared Kelnick is firing on all cylinders. But do you buy it? Do you buy that Jared Kelnick is the bee's knees right now?
I mean, I really didn't want to buy into Kelnick coming into this season, you know, we saw like a year and a half of just some bad play, bad with the bat, you know, didn't really seem to be figuring it out. Would go down, hit down there, then come up. It seemed like it was between the ears. Before the season started, you mentioned how he changed his routine, working with different people, and it all seems to be paying out. He smashed in spring. I was still kind of dismissive of that because he had smashed in spring the year before as well. And we've seen plenty of guys that will come up and they're the bell of the ball in spring training, and then they cannot get a hit once they get up to the majors. So sometimes that happens, but for this guy, he is wrecking it. He's going Oppo Taco too the other night. Like, I mean, he is hitting everything they're throwing at him. So yeah, I think it's time to buy in. Top prospect. He's got the pedigree, changed a little bit this offseason, and it's working. He's still very young. So yeah, this is the time to buy in right now.
Yeah, I got a hard time betting again. I mean, here's the little thing. It's going to come back down to earth, of course. He's hitting over 400 against fastballs right now. So they're going to start throwing in other directions. But here's what's changed for him. Last year, breaking pitches, he hit .057. This year, he's hitting .261. Last year against off-speed, he hit .154. This year, .250. He's not whiffing at the same rate on breaking pitches. He's lowered it against off speed. So what he's doing is he's separating the thing that you can attack, because what you could do is if he wasn't hitting, you know, if he's only hitting fastballs, which by the way, so many people made such a big stink about in spring training where it was like, oh, well, he's doing everything off of fastballs. And it's like, yeah, because he's getting himself to this count. So that's what I'm giving him credit for here. He's hitting fastballs even better because of the work he's doing against other pitches. And he's able to take that and he's able to smash, and he's starting to do that again. It's hard to find a reason outside of just natural progression right now to think that he's going to fall off the entire planet, because he is performing at a pretty dang high level. He's stealing a few bases. He's hitting the ball really hard. He's going to keep moving up in the lineup. There's just something that still tells me when the bad streak comes in, how bad is it going to look and how much regression will come into play? But it's really fantastic. So here was the debate. Originally, we were going to do Kelnick versus Buxton, which now I do kind of think actually might have been a good one. And your logic behind that was the guy that's performing at a really high level versus a guy that's really struggling. and Byron Buxton. Yeah. And what side did you sit on that one? I know you love to hate. It's your favorite thing to do is to hate Byron Buxton.
But... No, well, I put him versus three guys, and it was kind of to see the level of climbing. And what I did was I first said versus Ian Happ, because Ian Happ's hitting right now too. But he was like I think Kelnick was a little bit below Ian Happ before the season started, just in terms of playing like a ladder
game.
Stuff.
This is a ladder game. Okay,
pretty much a ladder game.
Happ versus Kelnick.
Yeah. So, and I think most people would take Kelnick just because more power, blah, blah, blah. Then the next one was Buxton, and we've seen Buxton perform at MVP levels before, but he's injury prone, but obviously his ADP much higher than Kelnick before. And then the last one I was going to say, the last two really were Adolis, who, you know, started out hot, is hitting hot right now. And Lubob, who is ahead of everybody on this list, but is not hitting. So it's kind of like this was an in between. I had some hot versus colds.
Well, let's hear it. Let's hear. What's your take on it? Where are you going with these four?
I would take him over the first two for sure.
So you would take him over Buxton.
Over Buxton. No, it's just Buxton's going to get hurt. Like, and that's if Buxton doesn't, great. And I hope I'm wrong. And I hope he stays healthy the whole year and hits well and blah blah blah. Never happens. So yes, I would take him over Buxton. The last two, I mean, Adolis is hitting, so I don't want to go after 1 month of Kelnick, even though he looks like the best player in baseball right now. And then Lubob, I'm still going to take Lubob. Just, you know, I can't reach down to Kelnick yet, but like I could see him going over all four of these guys by the end of the season. No issue. There's not a guy that he cannot soar past, I feel like, out of this group. So I don't know that I would blame anyone for taking Kelnick over all these guys. I think doing it a month into the season is a little silly, but I understand it. So for me, first two, yes. Last two, no.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. And after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Let me tell you something about
In This League.
I would do it over half, and I wouldn't think like twice about it. I wouldn't do it over the others. I'm just not there yet. And I will acknowledge, like, I might be really wrong about that because, dude, it looks great. He's got the
pedigree, too. This isn't a guy that's 29 and jumping up to the bigs out of nowhere. This isn't Joey Meneses from last season, right? This is a guy with a big pedigree, former number one prospect in baseball. So, like, once you see it, people want to believe. They want to buy in. I think that's a big part of what goes into, you know, getting him in a trade and, you know, stuff like that, too, is that there's just so much behind him. People want to buy in. It's like seeing Santa Claus. You want to believe that's Santa Claus.
In my Otno League, I got that really great deal on Bryce Harper, and it's going to look fantastic, and I'm going to, you know, whatever. But Otno, they have this, it's like an arbitration element where people get to take, everyone gets their allotted like arbitration dollars, and they get to put them on other people, which is super annoying, by the way. that'll be super annoying, and it's going to make me dislike people in the industry as soon as they try to be mean. but Bryce Harper is someone that could get targeted, but I have Kelnick for a dollar in that league. And that's going to be something no one's going to want if he continues to go. But he's hitting lefties. He's hitting righties, both over 300, a ridiculous clip right now. He's not having major struggles there. His biggest struggle so far is when he got pushed up in the order. That'll be interesting to see how he's attacked. So at the end of the day, he's looked so good. I might be wrong. He might be the best player of all of these that you put out there, especially if this continues. It's just track record that makes me think this doesn't continue. But how far does it backtrack when it does? And if it doesn't go too far, I actually think that would be something that is going to make him absolutely freaking skyrocket in value across the board because it's not too crazy super far. So this is what all leads to. I'll take him over half. I'm going to still take Buxton over him, and I'll take the others. I came up with this where I thought, you know, a really interesting one because you had a debate on the hot and colds was Cody Bellinger. And Cody Bellinger has been smoking hot. By the way, congratulations on the sex. He's having the paternity leave, so he's going to have a little baby Bellinger. Good on you. He does not have as beautiful as a baseball savant page as Jared Kelnick does. The EV numbers aren't there. The hard hit numbers aren't there. But I think what's more important for him, his WOBA, his expected batting average, his slugging higher. 61%. It's still not Kelnick numbers. He's not whiffing at the same rate. His K percentage is in the top 89% now. He's only striking out 14% of the time.
Down from 27.3% last year. Almost has cut it in half.
Wild. And he's barreling up the ball better. So these are all really good things. By the way, his XBA is lower than his batting average, but it's still sustainable at 260. And counting stats wise, he's got 5 homers, 4 stolen bases in what you could easily argue is a much better hitting environment. So my thought was people are turning and Bellinger's got a bigger track record that I think people would go for Cody Bellinger at this point, regardless of the paternity list. It's a better environment with the Cubs. He's starting to roll. He looks like he could be a 30-20 guy again this season. And there just isn't enough juice on the Kelnick side. So I decided to put a poll out. And you said Kelnick is going to smoke him. I said, I think Bellinger could win this. Landslide.
Yeah, I thought
you landslide. Thought landslide.
And I mean, even The Athletic just put out an article on Kelnick's, you know, surprising turnaround and stuff. Like, his name is everywhere. He hit a home run last night as we're recording this. So, like, I don't know. I just felt Kelnick's going to crush Bellinger.
And you know what? You were right.
Oh,
he
was I really?
Has smoked this. I put this out, by the way, shout out to the new reach I'm getting here. Used to never get this. I put this out, what, like 30 minutes ago, 40 minutes ago? And we got like over 400 votes on it.
Nice.
78% Jared
Whoa.
Kelnick. Okay, hands Ooh. Up. I'm wrong. I was wrong about that. I thought this would be way closer, and I thought Bellinger could win.
I don't think it should be this big of a landslide because, I mean, with Bellinger, you know, obviously I think there's regression coming for him as well, and it took him until the Dodger series to really get going. Kelnick's been going the whole year. Like you said, that WOBA's over 400. The strikeout rate is the biggest thing to me because, you know, his great years here in 2019, 2020, his strikeout rate was 16.3, 17.3, and then it really ballooned up to 26, 27, and now it being down at 14.1, walk rate is close to 10, which he hasn't had the last two seasons either. Like, I don't know. We kind of seem like we're seeing old Bellinger here, so I do think it should be closer, but I'm not surprised Kelnick won the poll, so...
I am surprised. Like, this might be like stupid. There's a part of me that, like, if I had the opportunity to buy one, I kind of think I would want to buy Bellinger right now. And I hate saying that personally because, like, this is all that I want. I want Kelnick to succeed. I want him to be good. I want both these guys to be good. But it's like, you know, there's still a near 25% strikeout rate, and all of this stuff is fantastic. But sustain it. Like, what is Kelnick's what is his BABIP? I can never find it on Baseball Savant. So his BABIP right now, like, how much future regression? 383. It's pretty good. I mean, he has a career 224. Let's just say he's like, especially with the hard hit numbers coming up, let's say, you know, he runs a little higher BABIP and it's like 320. So the regression doesn't look like it would be insane, but like, what's that going to look like? And then I look at Cody Bellinger and I see there's like a different person. The strikeout percentage is lower. The walk percentage is as high as it's been since 2000.
Well, he also has a track record of succeeding in the bigs.
He's been MVP.
And Kelnick doesn't. So I understand your argument. I'm just also not surprised by this result because, by the way, his minors career, Jared Kelnick's BABIP career is 338. So.
Okay, so yeah, like I said, so he runs a higher BABIP, so like in the 330s.
But I mean, still, he's with 380 in the bigs. That's obviously coming down. So there's regression coming for both these guys. So I think you're right in that it should be closer. But like I said, I'm also not surprised that it isn't closer because Kelnick is the hotness right now. Everybody wants, and he's also been hot since spring training. So it's really 2 months of Kelnick talk. So, you know, he was hot in spring as well, and people were kind of expecting this to translate finally, and it has. So I think there's like, you know, we've already had confirmation of him being good this year from the first month of the regular season. We didn't have that with Bellinger. So that's another point in Kelnick's favor in terms of public opinion.
Yeah, and it might not make sense to people what I'm also saying. It's like, I just want to see how he rebounds from when he struggles. And then I think once seeing that, that could be the storyteller of why he's so much more worth Bellinger. And but the problem is like you can't make that bet. Like you gotta buy, except Kelnick's value. See, this is the other thing. Kelnick's value is peak right now. He's 78% more I have to own him this year than Cody Bellinger right now, who's doing it. Like that means you've turned a new level on Jared Kelnick. So I don't want to get back into trying to tell you this is the biggest.
You can trade Kelnick and get back Bellinger and Taj Bradley because he's in the minors right now. Go ahead and pull that trigger, friend. Do that.
Yeah, I think I might do that. But I mean, to be fair, if Kelnick goes like another month with this, you're going to be talking about Jared Kelnick. Like people won't trade their Kelnick to get Luis Robert.
Right.
Yeah. That's funny. You said Bo Bichette. I was going to say Bo Bichette too. But I went more realistic and went like, Robert.
I mean, you say realistic, but another month of this, you might be able to get anybody for Kelnick. So
yeah, it's very true. By the way, our other poll we put out there is much closer. So the other poll was, who'd you rather have rest of season standard 5x5? And my caveat was, knowing Taj was just sent down and Bybee dealed, but uncertain future. So I didn't try to sway it. I just gave everybody the pieces also so I could maybe avoid insanely snarky stuff like that. But what do you think the results look like on that?
I already saw. So when I went to look at the Kelnick one, I saw it. So.
Oh, okay. 55.3% also has around 400 votes. Taj Bradley over Tanner Bybee. Some interesting things in here. This person, 2000 World Series champ, says, I feel like this question would yield wildly different results if asked 2 weeks ago versus now versus 2 weeks from now. I completely agree with that. I completely agree with that. Because
I think Bybee wasn't up. Yeah, and that's going to be different 2 weeks ago and 2 weeks in the future. I mean, of course.
So. Yeah, and especially with like that, that was the whole point of like the unknowns on it. So I agree with the statement. I don't think it helped anything in it, but you're totally right. Like it would, if in 2 weeks Bradley's back up and Bybee's gone, there you go. Last 2 weeks ago, it was because Bradley was up. So yeah, sure, it's going to go around. What I was trying to get is like at this moment, with Bradley just being sent down but been dealing, Bybee just dealing and maybe could be brought up. This is the world of speculation, and it's the most uncomfortable space in fantasy because you got
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league,
somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
It's full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
If you are a mover and a shaker, you've got to make moves in the uncomfortable space of like, what could happen? Could I be wrong? Could this guy have the rotation spot the rest of the year? Could this guy deal? Could this guy fall apart? You have to, if you like to wheel and deal, some don't. I don't particularly love to. I'm not a huge, like, I got to take advantage this moment of this guy going and getting out from under it. I don't do that. I'm more of a buyer than I am a seller in most points. Also, we have someone said praying Bybee stays up. And then this person said Cleveland, who has Plesac and Quantrill in the rotation, seem more likely to have a need. Tampa Bay tendencies on prospect management also do not favor Bradley, except that Springs is out with Tommy John surgery. So. I think that kind of works in his
favor. Eflin just came back too. He started the year on the IL, so he just came back. So, but I think like if the Rays are going to keep winning, they need to have Bradley in their rotation.
Yeah, well,
and sure, Eflin, limit his innings. I get it, but come on, you got to have him in there.
Well, Eflin was a part of the rotation, and then he's the reason that Bradley came up. But now with Springs down, the only argument would be like they could do the Josh Fleming stuff if they want to do that. But just. Bradley's been so good. Just F it all. Like, screw it all. Like, I want all teams to be in on, we don't need to screw around and we're just going to get our best prospects. So it's the best thing for baseball. They're out here making the game quicker. These games aren't quite as long, making more offense. Pitchers are getting blown up, I suppose, and get the youngest stars up here. It's the best thing to get kids and people excited about baseball. So get them kids up here and do all of that. Boggs, you want to run through a quick hot or cold or just do baseball savant leaderboard stuff?
Yeah, let's just do the leaderboard stuff. I want to save some of these hot and colds for the next show.
Okay. So your leaderboard on barrels per plate appearance is still Matt Chapman. He is number one, 20.6 barrels per plate appearance. It's obviously leveling out, but he is still the top dog with the most hard hit balls, I believe, in baseball. Nope, he actually is eighth. The most hard hit balls belongs to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. at 48, 95 plus mile per hour balls. But your top 10 on barrels per plate appearances: Chapman, Stanton, Berger. This one is crazy because Joe today on Fantasy Pros Bogman was kind of essing on Brian Reynolds and the contract. He's fourth in the league in barrels per plate appearance at 14.9.
He didn't like the Pirates giving Brian Reynolds that much money, or he didn't like Brian Reynolds taking that much money from the Pirates?
I think it was a combination. Like, he didn't feel that the Pirates' money was best well spent on a guy like Brian Reynolds, who I don't think he was crazy impressed with. And I didn't agree with that, because I think Reynolds is like a good safety net. And
let's just have the stupid ass Pirates spend money. Spend some of that money they're making every year. Yes. I mean, the Steelers will show you that if you win, people will show up and they'll support your team. So I don't understand why the Pirates have never pushed their chips in and tried to buy
Pittsburgh. I was like, what do the Steelers have to do with it? You're talking like Pittsburgh.
In the city, like, people will come in, and that's the best stadium in the bigs, according to everybody, too. That in San Francisco and San Diego, those are like the three that always get kicked around. So, like, I just don't understand why they don't push their chips in and pay some of these guys. Hopefully Brian Reynolds is the first domino, but he's been outstanding this year, and the Pirates just finally had to bite the bullet and pay him. Trade requests and all that stuff. O'Neill Cruz got hurt. Brian Hayes hasn't really been doing it so far this year. He was in one of those hot cold debates that we were going to have. So Brian Reynolds has been great.
You know, it's interesting. Number 9 on this barrels per plate appearance list, Jack Suwinski, who's with the Pirates. So you got two guys in the top 10, 13.8 barrels overall.
Rooker's still high up there too.
We were going to go there, but I'm talking just Pirates just for a second.
Oh, sure.
Suwinski, 109 max EV on the year, which is pretty impressive. A 93 average EV. He's only got 19 hard hit balls, but I think that's more based on plate appearances. So two Pirates are in there. But yeah, that was actually one. Muncy's number 5. Number 6 is Brent freaking Rooker, who I just can't get over. Like, he just might be a great value right now. Hit a couple solo shots against stinky ass Jose Suarez, who sucks. And Brent Rooker has huge power, 90 percentile average EV, 88 percentile hard hit. His ex-WOBA, 98 percentile. He's barreling 97 percentile. He's got a 307 expected batting average, and he's hitting 333 with 6 homers. Might be one of the best bats in the A's lineup. He's just, do you have any ownership stuff picked up? I don't even know who we look at anymore. We used to always look at Yahoo, but I feel like we don't ever look at them. I'm curious at what Rooker's ownership is. If it's under 50, it's stupid.
No, I don't think it's under 50. I'll take a look here. I can pull up.
I'm going to guess it's 58%.
58%. I'll go over 58%.
Okay. It might be like 70, like 71 just popped in my head.
71 just popped in your head. Let's see. Yeah. I'm looking at Yahoo. This is the guy that that said that Jake McCarthy was going to get sent down. So, all right, crystal ball one more time. It's on Yahoo. What's the roster?
I'm going to go back to 57 on Yahoo. I would say 71 on CBS.
You are 24% over, 33% on Yahoo. Hitting 333 with 6 bombs. I mean, 2 of them were yesterday. And by the way, with his 6 homers, he does have 9 runs scored. A's are a joke.
I think he's just such a good deep league guy right now. And the underlining stuff is very much in his favor. So
33% roster. Come on.
I'd pick him up. Yeah, why not? Especially
Kerry Carpenter, too. Like, Kerry Carpenter has kind of been doing it all year with the Tigers, and he's 10th here, Welsh. So yep. What do you think his rostership is? We'll look at him. Yeah, God,
I'll bet you 21% if Rooker. No, what was Rooker? Hold on.
33.
I'm going to say 29.
How about 3%? Because he's only hitting 210. Yeah. So that's probably 7 runs, 4 homers, 8 RBI. But he's on this list. That's crazy.
What are them Yahooers doing? What are them Yahooers doing here?
They're being Yahooers.
Yahooers. All right. So those in the top, Brandon Lau, Sean Murphy, also in that top 10 list. If you're looking for guys that are barreling up the most, your max EV leaders, see if there's anybody fun in there. Matt Olson, number 1. Jake Berger with a 118.2 is number 2. You got Stanton, Otani, Jock Peterson. He's usually in there. Your Jordan, Springer, Guerrero, Wilson Contreras, and Rafael Devers. One that stands out here, Sam Hilliard, is number 12 with a 114.8. He's just getting some playing time recently, crushed a couple bombs, hitting 327. He has three homers and four stolen bases in under 50 at bats. So
Sam Hill, you do this every year. I feel like
former Rockies prospect.
I feel like he has a month every year where he's like, oh, let's look out. Here comes Sam Hilliard. And then
I don't buy into him, but boy, number 13.
That feels more like 3% to me.
I buy big into Yandy Diaz. I wish I was more into Yandy Diaz in the preseason. That's one that'll just, you know, you get like bothered by, you're like, why wasn't I like that guy? Like, why wasn't I more on Yandy? Because he finally made the change. He always, you know, wasn't striking out, right? He was barreling. And he just launch angle, balls starting to travel. And it's just something he had never done before. But he's definitely one of those guys. It's like, if he could just, it would be very exciting. I'm going to go over to the expected leaderboard real quick over on the baseball side. And let's look at the biggest side. On the pitcher side. Sorry. We were talking about football. Now we're talking about baseball
the whole time, haven't we? I mean,
Here is the list of both sides of ERA real quick. ERA versus expected ERA. So this is on the bad. So I wish I could sort this by start. I guess I could do innings pitched maybe. But either way, your biggest, I'm going to try to work through this because there's a bunch of relievers on here. Now that I'm looking at this, can I sort this by?
Yeah, go to minimum BIP.
Yeah, BIP. What is BIP?
Something innings pitched.
The notorious BIP?
That's right.
Yeah, there you go. So if I do, I did 50, let's go 25. It was all a dream. Used to read Word Up magazine. All right, we're going to do 50 because that didn't help when I did. All right, so we have now sorted this by that, and then we are going to go your biggest differential. So here are the guys that got worse, and there's no shocker. Dude, this is my bet of the day I had. I bet Toronto to have three runs through the first five because they're going up against Michael Kopech. Michael Kopech currently has, I don't think it's counting today's outing, but has a 6.97 ERA, a 9.87 expected. It's the worst negative expected differential in baseball of any starting pitcher. 2.9 worse than he currently is.
Man. Woof. Yeah, he has just been bad.
Yeah.
It's been rough.
Number two is actually going today, so I don't know how it turned out for you guys that are listening. Bryce Elder, who had a 1.14 ERA, an expected 4 ERA, which is a 2.86 difference. Not good. Charlie Morton, number two, 2.76 up to a 5.60. That's a 2.84 in the wrong direction. Tylor McGill, the fourth worst ERA to expected ERA differential, 2.53 difference. 6.49 is his. John Gray, 3.72 to 6.21. Then you have Trevor Williams, Sonny Gray, Merle, Braxton Garrett, and Wade Miley. Those are your worst differentials across the board. Sonny Gray maybe being the best of them because he has a 0.6 ERA. His expected is still under 3. He's the only guy here with an under 4, actually, with this big of a difference. But Merle's in there, so that's not good.
Yeah, Merle's a soft tosser, and he's gotten himself into some jams and worked out of them. That start against the Padres was a little rough. By the way, have you seen Bob Melvin's face? What's up with his face?
I saw him a bunch in spring. I mean, it's been on the sun a lot.
Is that what it is? I thought it looked weird, and I was like, man, my TV must be off. And then I saw, like, the pitching coach was standing next to him. I'm like, no, just looks like Emperor Palpatine. He looks terrible. Tori doesn't look great either. Tori's got big old bags under his eyes. Looks like me.
We don't age well. It doesn't go well. Like, there's plenty of players I've seen that with. One that comes to mind was Tommy Lasorda towards the end. Like, that was a rough go. Like, none of us go gracefully. I watch myself occasionally. Like, you know, you're doing your streams and stuff, and we can see ourselves. I see myself during Fantasy Pros, and I'm like, what's up with your eye bag? Like, I want the eye bags to go away so bad. Like, I don't know what
didn't you happened. Tell me your alarm didn't go off? You woke up like four minutes before a show the other day. I mean,
I woke up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League. Horsebrew. Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. Hey, you're right.
message or whatever. Podcast listeners leaving messages, stupid.
Voicemails in this league at gmail.com. Very professional. Just gmail.com. Record yourself 60 seconds or less. Send it on over to us and we'll play it. It could be a trade, a player breakdown. I don't know. Be whatever we want. We want to talk to you guys and talk to you guys. We've been doing a lot of live streams lately. So we want to talk to you guys, see what you guys have. Your chance to make the show better. And our boy Nick sent an email in. And I think there's also a screenshot that's going to go with it. So that's going to be fun. But he sent this in over the weekend. So he was the earliest. So he must be heard. Oh, yeah. The man must be heard. But I see this is a video. I don't think it's going to play. Yep. Oh, Nick. I got to
download it, Welsh. Come on.
I don't look at these ahead of time. I literally just forward them. And that's all that I do. So, all right. So let's.
Is this Nick that. Is this no eye contact Nick that we've had before?
Was it Nick's first? Yeah. I just saw the video. It is no eye contact Nick. That's right.
Okay.
All right. Here we go with no eye contact Nick. What do you got?
Hi, guys. Out of the six leagues I play in, one of them is a public league. I like to do one auction league per year. And it's just easiest to pick a public league drafting at a date and time that I'm free.
True.
So in that league, 12-team roto, currently in eighth place, jumping up 20 points in three spots in the last week and a half. First place team has offered me his Nico Horner for my Jazz Chisholm. I accepted. So far, three teams have voted to veto the trade, and it only needs one more vote to be vetoed. My question is this a trade that is even close to being vetoed? Second question is, am I the one being robbed blind in this trade, or am I the one who's doing the robbing? I really don't even know.
Before we do the obvious and talking about vetoes, I want Jazz. I get why this is going on and Nico's way better in performing, but I'm not giving up on Jazz and the potential. You're not being robbed blind, but I would look at that. When Pogman and I both reacted when you said that, going like, yeah. Ooh, like we both want Jazz in here. You're buying the now of Horner and not buying in on what full season Jazz could be. But all of that said and done, you moved up the spots. You got it set. Your team to roster. Vetoes are the biggest load of garbage in fantasy sports. League vetoes are trash. But here's a small other little caveat, Boggs. It's a public league. So, like, you might have to do vetoes in a public league.
Yeah, a public league, like Nick said, you know, that is... I hate vetoing. Number one, you should only be vetoing for, what do I want to call it? Conspiracy theorists, collusion. Collusion is the only thing, and conspiracy theory are the only things you should be vetoing for. But in a public league, it's hard to tell who's colluding. You don't know any of these people. So I understand that there is vetoing in this league because of that, especially if there's money involved and stuff like that. But look, I think it's not a trade that I would have done, right, Nick? It's not something that I would have pulled the trigger on. But also, it's your team. People have to allow you to make the moves for your team. If you trade for Nico Horner and Jazz tears his knee tomorrow, then everyone knows, obviously, this trade has worked in your favor.
So
you're buying early, which is not something we normally want to do because we're afraid of regression and stuff like that from these guys that start out hot that haven't been top level player like Jazz.
Let me add one thing before you go too far. This is a points league and this does change this a little bit. Jazz is less valuable in a points league because of the strikeouts. Stolen bases mean a little bit, which also would affect Nico Horner.
Yeah.
Because I see a score here and Nico Horner has scored 30 more points than Jazz on the season. So all I want before you went too far,
that's like a point a day.
Yeah, but like Nico moves closer. He moves up in a points, I think, right now with how he's hitting and a contact hitter he is and not striking out. And Jazz moves down, but it's still like Jazz
has more power. So I'd rather
Jazz, but I think this is a closer trade, which I'm shocked that people are losing their minds about.
I'm not. Like, if you're in a public league, people, you know, and this is why we don't like trade vetoing. This umpire has a terrible strike zone today. This is why, you know, we don't like vetoing is because now that Nick has been vetoed, what is to stop him from anyone anytime
Yep.
Anytime anybody else wants to do a trade, now you can get revenge by vetoing other trades, right?
Couldn't agree anymore.
People aren't always using their correct brain and just looking at this. They're also thinking of who's involved and, well, I'm not getting anything, so I don't care, so veto. There will be people in every league that allows vetoing to veto. There will be someone that vetoes a trade every single time.
No, I always hated playing in those leagues where every time a trade happened, you would get a message like, hey, you got to do this. And it puts it people because you just want to be like, no, this is bull crap or whatever. I don't know. I think there needs to be a very systematic system to do vetoes and stuff like that. Like, it's got to be like, and I think some do this. Like, if there's a 12 man league, like, you have to have not majority, because that could mean two people vote and one, two say no and one says yes. You have to have like a minimum of 10 people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you have to have a majority. I think this is stupid, Nick. This is dumb that you're getting smacked with this. And that's also, I'd also point out like why I literally would never play a public league. I would come and join, not to be a plug, but come and join ITL, meet the guys here, play leagues with them, dude. Like, just public leagues stink, especially in this realm of like, you're going to veto a trade. Like, I don't know. Like, the other guy might be the one getting screwed a little bit in it. Yeah, that's a wild one. That's a wild one. I don't have to say.
Yeah, it sucks. Don't do public leagues.
Yeah, public leagues. Can you imagine? Did you ever do a public public league? Actually created one of the best stories of all time, but it was in football. No, those are the public mocks where the guy kept chasing you around every.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Yeah, I was just trying to get like a good measure. It wasn't like, it was just a mock draft room in ESPN. And I was doing it like ESPN was the only one that left their mock draft room open, like at all times at that point. And I'm like, this guy kept just going into the rooms and taking Tuffy Ghostwitch in the first round. And I was like, come on, man, you're being an And he was like, and then so I went to a different room and then he followed me and it showed my name. So he's like, Scott Bogman, we're lovers and I love Tuffy Ghostwitch and blah blah blah. It was just like, okay, well, I guess I'm doing this for
that guy day. Is now.
I mean,
that guy's so awesome. That's what it was. So yeah, just the public leagues ain't about it for mocks or anything. All right, let's move on.
42 following me over there trolling me.
So. What was that name?
Skank Hunt. Yeah, that's a song. Oh. Skank Hunt. Okay. And Dildo Schwaggins. You don't remember that episode?
I do. Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, yeah. All right. That's our boy Steve. The best voice in all of voicemail land.
Yeah.
Friendos, since ITL is where fun and fantasy collide, I thought we'd play a quick game this week. I'm going to pitch to you three themed promotional giveaways.
Okay.
And I want you to tell me if they're good enough that you'd buy a ticket to this game or not.
This is phenomenal.
Game number one, Jesus Sanchez prayer candle giveaway. You're going
to... Ooh, I like it. Like, we come out hot here.
Like the long... Like, oh, yeah. The long candle that...
Have you seen like those Dia with Pedro Mortis. Pascal on them? Yeah.
Yeah, the Dia de Mortis type of candles. You know what? I might buy one of those. I might go to that.
Candles.
Yeah. All right, he's going to sell it. What's that?
They're just Mexican candles, right? Like, they're on every ethnic aisle. So, yeah. Jesus Sanchez, though.
I mean, I don't put her... I don't... I just talk
oh,
about
you
it.
Don't? So, you don't? I don't? Oh, you don't?
I don't see ethnicity.
What a woke guy.
I don't see any ethnicity to it. I just... talk about it. It's like Dia de Mortis. That's all. Okay. I don't see any.
Why do you think it's at Jesus Sanchez? Come on.
Gonna light it once when the lineup card is released, hoping he's in there. You're gonna light it on subsequent at bats, hoping he gets a hit.
That's A plus.
Game number two. I think you should do
Corbin Carroll walkie stick night.
Oh wait, hold on. Oh, that's a good one. Hold on. What were you saying?
I think you should make a prayer candle for all of these guys. Like, who would not be lighting this for Nick Lodolo now? We need prayers for him, right? So,
yeah. Oh, good. Yeah, it can be anybody. It's not just a certain ethnicity. All right. This is a good one.
Game number two, Corbin Carroll walking stick night in Arizona. If Corbin Carroll is issued a free pass during this game, everyone in attendance takes a victory lap with those walking sticks around the ballpark.
Oh, that's pretty good. Game that's like three. A minus
in Oakland. A's fans, I legit feel sorry for you. You're great fans. You don't deserve what's happening to you.
Should so just be a bag of
you're
cash.
Gonna crowdsource
to be what
a bag of cash should just be a big old. If you actually show up to an A's game knowing they're not going to be there in the next 4 years because they're moving to Vegas and
they have
literally given you nothing except Brent Rooker to cheer for, you should just get a big old bag of cash, like a Monopoly one with the dollar sign. That's what they
I actually think they should give out stuffed possums and poop emojis, but that's me. Let's all right. Let's see what it was.
Of course, this last promotion, because the A's would never pay for anything, and it's going to be A's foam middle finger giveaway, and you are going to have these at every home game.
Oh, I think they should just have those.
He literally cut off it. Hold on, let me see if I can get
Friendo's sense on the schedule. Not just once, but voice your displeasure in the way that I know you Oakland A's fans know how to with these full middle fingers. So, guys, you attending or are you a hard pass on any of these games?
Every single one of them.
I'm going
to
all of them. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the rank is the Lizardo Candle. The watch.
What about Astros cheating binocular night?
It's like the trash can thing.
Yeah,
I think the A's middle finger is number two, and I love the concept around the walk, but I don't know if it's the walking stick.
And also, would anyone ever get one? Right, you'd only give those away like five times a year.
Walking a lot lately, but
last night. What about how about Astros like it's binoculars and a walkie-talkie set night, like Astros spy gear night? You could have that. You could have St. Louis Cardinals. Hacking lessons night, so like in the middle of the game, everyone's learning how to hack the Astro servers. I like that too. What else you have, Welsh?
I have nothing else. We're gonna
I'm not Madison Bumgarner ATV night. Come on, ATV lessons night. Mason Saunders ATV night. I don't know. I feel like we could get a bunch of these, and they would be great. Garrett Cole public speaking lessons night. So he doesn't cry after using spider tech or whatever he did that one time. That was weird.
I don't really like that.
I don't know what to say about this.
Hey, I'm a really good pitcher, okay? I'm a very professional pitcher, and everybody should be really happy that they get to see me out every fifth day on the...
How about Byron Buxton Bubble Boy night?
Band-Aid night? It'll be Band-Aid night.
Band-Aid night. Lord. Josh Naylor bypass night. God, these are great. We could do a million of these.
Padres, great
idea, Steve. This
brought to you by Pfizer for Padres Night. It's a great, you killed it. You killed it, too. That's a great one. All right, let's see. This is another movie. Is this one? I got to download another movie. Yeah. This also, okay, so here we go. We do have to give a little thing. This does have the dreaded... Not one, but screenshots. Four screenshots.
Screenshots are illegal for the most part. So
it's kind of like rosin and sweat. There's only so much you can do, and until it gets a little too sticky. So just pointing out for the future,
it is
for everybody,
a screenshot of the of the roster, but like we don't want to read the whole roster off.
But I do like the video. I will say, like, I don't care about downloading the videos. I love seeing everybody. So this is Kevin. I think this
Kevin.
Is right. Is this Kevin? Is that who it says? I can't look. This is Kevin, I think.
I can't see anything.
Obviously a working man video here. Have some questions with Bryce Harper potentially coming back.
By the way, everyone needs to know this is fantastic. Kevin is in, looks like full on construction gear with an LA Dodgers construction helmet. So that Good is why look. The working man is in there. This is a great look. He's got a great beard too. So
yeah,
very
solid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in this league.
I love you.
Ready to party!
Very jealous of that beard. All right, moving on.
Super soon. My most droppable hitter is Miguel Vargas. Having a hard time letting go of him, obviously, bias. But he's struggling, as you guys know, so just trying to figure that out. It is a points league. Welsh, I know you hate those, but, got to do what we got to do. And my most droppable pitchers are probably, like, Descalfani, Detmers, which I don't really want to let go of.
Yeah.
And then I have Maeda, but I do have Brendan Faughn in an NA spot. And with the hopes of him coming up soon, kind of was going to use the pitchers as those kind of movements. So did attach my roster. I know that that's kind of insane, a little bit too much. But
Kevin just knows
this guy's awesome.
What a stat. Yeah. I love everything. Like, he's just shut us up at every moment. This is the best thing. Hey, I'm like, yeah, it's a thing. He talks about that. He's like, well, she don't like the points league. This is phenomenal. Let's let him finish. This is phenomenal. It's a super ITL voicemail.
Just in case you guys wanted to take a look at it, in case I'm overvaluing someone else that I didn't mention. But I think some of these other players might be having that issue with Harper coming back and Fought coming up. Those types of players, what kind of moves should we make right at 60 seconds and now?
Whoa, what a stud.
Wait. Oh, man.
What a stud.
What? That's an all-time. 10 out of 10 voicemail. This is great.
Look at this. Look at this. How it ended, too. Look at that look. I could never have that good of just like
a smirk on there. Did you miss the wink at the end?
No, I saw the wink. I saw it. Oh, yeah. It's A-plus voicemail. I don't know. You guys probably can't feel it as much as we do, like seeing it. But everything about that was hilarious and good in it. Okay, so now you can send us 1,200 screenshots, whatever you want. So I will tell you, I did get lost a little bit in there of like, I was like, what's the question? It's Harper's coming back, and then he's got
who to drop on the hitting side.
And where does he make the move?
Maeda for Fott is the easiest one. Like, we already know that. That's done. End of story. On the pitching side, right? Like you said, he wants to drop one of those pitchers for Fott. It's Maeda. No issue.
Yeah. I think I saw Kevin. So he's also got Bradish, Bradish got Liddy. He got lit up a little
bit. All right. So would you drop Bradish? Yeah. So drop Bradish and bring Harper back and go with one less pitcher. It is a points league.
He had Bybee too. He had Bybee. So you could move Bradish off for Bybee. I don't see Maeda on here, so I'm not seeing that move. Let me go over to the hitters here. Descalfani. I think you could move off of Descalfani. I don't think Descalfani makes me hold. Yeah, I think you were saying Maeda. I think it's Descalfani.